Please. In 2 Thessalonians, again, chapter 2, I want to remind us all once again that in this chapter, the Apostle Paul is quite clear. God chose to save some people. Right? That's what he directly says. But we are bound, verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. And this is in distinction to this other group of people he talks about. Beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also quite clear from the Apostle Paul's words in this passage that God Almighty has been pleased to damn some people.
Yes, sir.
Now think about it. They have not received the love of the truth that they might be saved. They're already going to perish. Right?
Yes, sir.
They're already going to perish. But God Almighty is not only pleased to let them perish, but to damn them in the process. And there is a difference in that.
Yeah.
You see, according to the Scripture, a man will be judged according to the light he has and his response to that light he's given. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said to some of those Pharisees and to a couple cities that greater will be your judgment or your condemnation in the day of judgment. And he said of a couple group of people, had the works been done in Sodom and Gomorrah that were done in these towns, they would have repented long ago.
Yes, sir.
And then you got people using that trying to prove free will.
Yeah, exactly.
Ain't that amazing?
Exactly.
And it actually says, to me it says, if God Almighty is pleased to bring a people around, he's going to use the means to bring them around. So then why didn't God give them these mighty works?
Exactly.
Huh? Why? That they all might be damned.
Amen.
Who believed not the truth. But wait a minute. These other people didn't believe the truth either, because God had to choose them to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
What we're talking about, you remember what it is? Election's divine justice.
Yes, sir.
You see, the reprobation is not just a sad byproduct of the election.
Exactly.
And sadly, that's the way, I say in the beginning, I don't know exactly the way Mason to put that, but as I begin to see these things, I've seen the reprobation as a sad byproduct of the election. But it's simply not so. All things that have come to pass, and when we wind this thing up in the end, when it is, as Scripture says, time shall be no more, and all of this earthbound finite thing is over, everything that has happened will have happened by the absolute sovereign purpose of God.
Amen.
Nothing is a sad byproduct of anything else.
Exactly.
Nothing. Now, there might be certain parts of it that's sad to us, and rightfully so. But the truth is, it will all give God glory.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
Scripture's quite clear. It is not up for our speculation. It's not even given to us to necessarily understand.
Yeah.
That is, to comprehend the inner workings of it. It says that even the wrath of man shall praise God.
Yes,
it says praise thee. It's talking about God. Even the wrath of man shall praise thee. And the rest of wrath, what's he do with it?
Yeah.
Well, they say, well, it happens and it's not. No, he restrains everything else.
Exactly.
So this, if it happens, it's going to praise him, right?
Yes, sir.
Because anything that per se Mason wouldn't have, he restrains.
Exactly.
Isn't that what that says?
Yeah.
God shall cause even the wrath of man to praise him, and the rest of wrath thou wilt restrain.
Amen.
The king's heart is in the Lord's hand. He turneth it whithersoever he will. That includes every king.
Yes, sir.
And if the king's heart is in the Lord's hand, and we usually, in many cases, we think of kings in different ways, but here we're talking about a very austere person, right? A king.
Yeah.
A person in control. A person in charge. A person with great pride and power and might.
Yes, sir.
And will. Right?
Yeah.
And yet if the king's heart is in the Lord's hand so that he turneth it whithersoever he will, what about us?
Exactly.
Huh? What about us? What about us peasants? On the face of the earth. How much more so us?
Exactly.
How much more so us? And I will repeat what I said last week, a part of it. If it were not for the perversity of men's blind hearts, they would perceive that divine justice is of quite another order and character than is human justice.
Yes, sir.
Just like divine love is of quite a different order and character than human love is.
Yes, sir.
Now turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. And I will for a while talk about love. And this will be to illustrate the difference. That is, the difference between that which I'm going to term the love of God. Whether it's God's love for us, or whether it's our love for God, which only exists as a fruit of the Spirit. Whether it's that love, whether it's the love of God, or whether it is human love. Now, let me just get it. 1 John chapter 4, and the main one is verse 7. Now think about this. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Now that's a familiar thing. And about everybody's preaching that, ain't they?
Yeah.
There ain't nobody preaching we ought to hate one another. Right? Uh-huh. I mean, it don't matter of what ilk you are, you're to love one another. That is, at least if you're a so-called Christian ilk, you know. There are people in this world who are love mongers.
Oh, yeah.
You know what a love monger is, don't you? They think that everything in the universe exists because of, by, and for love. That's what they think. I call them love mongers. They like this verse. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." Now let me say, love is of God.
Yes, sir.
But only a certain kind of love is of God. "For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God."
Amen.
Boy, that's ours all-encompassing, ain't it? Huh? Well, I like chocolate, so I guess I love God and I know God too, don't I? Now, isn't that stupid? That'd be stupid, wouldn't it? I love this songbook, so that means I love God and I know God. That's stupid, ain't it? And yet, that's the way people interpret the Scripture.
Exactly.
They say, all love is of God. That's not what that says.
Nope.
Does it?
Sorry.
It doesn't say all love is of God. Because John, this same John, is just proceeding in this letter, lets us know that there is a love that we ought to have nothing to do with. Right?
Right.
Look at it. 1 John chapter 2.
Right.
What does it say? Verse 15. "Love not the world."
Amen.
Now, how do I state this? I guess try to state it just as clearly as I can. I have often heard that phrase interpreted, "Love not the world." Of course, that means the world system. Right? That is, let me explain that. That is what they mean by that and what I mean by that, if I use that phrase. The world system is the world as it is set up in opposition to God. The world system. In other words, the way the world thinks in its natural state. That's the world system. It may be religious in nature. It may be sociological in nature, but it's probably also religious. You can't always separate these out. It may be military. It may be economic. But it is it's the way the world thinks, operates, and lives by nature. That's the world system. Now, what most people, when they interpret it, love not the world. Why? Because, of course, naturally, we're supposed to love everybody. Right?
That's what they think.
That's the interpret. Because love is of God, after all, don't you know? And if you hate somebody, that's a sin. Well, first of all, I read as a precedent in Scripture, it is said, I hate those that hate thee. That is, of someone who loves and believes God, hating those who hate God.
That's what it says.
Is that not the precedent of Scripture?
Yes, sir.
And then some dummy comes along, so I believe that's Jesus Christ. So? It is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's the only one, David, that's ever done that perfectly.
Exactly.
But yet we are that way in part. We're that way in part. We love truth and we hate error.
Yes, sir.
Even while we love error.
Yep. That's it.
And if you know the truth, you can relate to what I just said.
Exactly.
You can relate to what I just said. Even though I love error, I still hate error.
Yep.
When there was a time when all I did was love error and hate truth.
Exactly.
Somebody says, I don't get that. Well, God's never saved you then. As far as conversion is concerned, you're not there yet. And I'm not being mean, you're just not there yet.
Exactly.
If you don't understand that, if you can't relate to what I just said there. No, what does John say? Love not the world. What is the world? The world is, listen, God's created order.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Let's not try to get too, but I don't want to say it. We ought to love God's creation. Where does it say that? Because the creation, remember, is what?
Cursed.
Fallen. There you go. It's cursed of God.
Yes, sir.
Right? It's under the curse no less so than I am.
Exactly.
Or you are by nature.
Exactly.
So it says we're not to love the world, but what else? Neither the things that are in the world. Well, of course, that don't mean people, does it? Of course it means people.
Yes, sir.
People's my biggest problem. And this people right here is the biggest problem of all. That's me.
Yeah.
I'm my own biggest problem.
Yes, sir.
And I'm a people.
Exactly.
And you're a people too. And apart from Jesus Christ, we are enemies of God.
Exactly.
And apart from Jesus Christ, we're actually each other's enemies.
Yes, sir.
Because apart from Jesus Christ, we're out for old number uno. When it all boils down to it, we're out for number one. And we'll prove it. All God's got to do is take His hand off us for a moment.
Exactly.
And we'll prove how self-centered we are. But John warns us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, here's the problem. Most people think what man ought to do then is take this love for the world and turn that love toward God. Right? Just like most people think, and man does have faith. But it's, now what kind of faith does a natural man have?
Exactly.
Natural faith.
Yes, sir. That's it.
He has faith. And it's true. A man plants a seed in the ground and he does what? He believes that the process will continue and that seed will come up, right? That's faith. It is faith, but I've heard people say, you just take that faith and turn it toward God. Wouldn't do you a lick of good.
Exactly.
Wouldn't do you a lick of good. Just like what love men have for the world, and they're actually being persuaded to turn that love or that faith toward God. And it's nothing but natural love and natural faith, and it's of no spiritual value.
Amen.
That's why often when we think we've loved something, we find out later we didn't.
Yeah.
You know that? Or oft times when we think we didn't love something, then we find out we actually did after all. You know?
Yeah.
Actually did after all. It's because we are a twofold creature.
Yeah.
We do have two natures. Now, some people don't like that phrase, nature, but I use it simply for the lack of a better word. But it is called old man and a new man.
Yes.
That's the way the English puts it. And it's not talking about a literal individual man. But it's talking about something that exists within the converted.
Yeah.
And I should say the born again converted.
Yeah.
So no one misunderstands what I'm talking. There's a lot of people converted, but they've never been born again.
Exactly.
Here's the problem. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Amen.
You know, sadly and frighteningly, that gives no place for failure.
Not really.
Does it? Now notice how it says it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world. Now that's, it is given in the if. If any man love the world. That's the question. Do you really love the world?
Exactly.
That's the question.
Yes.
Oftentimes we show affection toward things that we really didn't love after all. That's what I said, right? Sometimes we show great affection toward things, and later we find out, you know, I really didn't love that. I thought I did. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what is the fact?
Yeah.
The love of the Father is not in him.
Amen.
This is not given to giving me. This is not given. This passage of Scripture is not given for the sense of giving me assurance. It's given in the sense of, or for the reason of, declaring that that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Exactly.
This is the same John that wrote that, remember?
Yes, sir.
The same John who wasn't there when Nicodemus and Christ spoke, but God Almighty gave him the conversation they had. And that's the same thing he's saying here. He's just adding to it a reality. A person that loves the world, the love of God's not in them. Right? But what's the opposite of that? If a person loves God, if a person loves the Father, they don't love the world.
Amen.
Now somebody says, Tim, tell me exactly who all that is. Can't tell you.
Exactly.
I can't tell you. Have you ever had somebody tell you, I love you, and then later you find out they didn't?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sure we have. Many of us, or probably everyone here has, to some degree or another, right?
Yeah.
Have we ever told someone we love them and then find out later, no, I don't even know if I knew what love really was.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because nowadays we say that willy-nilly, flippy-flippy.
Yeah.
We tell everybody, Barney loves me.
Yeah.
The pink dinosaur, he loves me too. Right?
Yeah.
I'm such a blessed creature. I'm loved of God and Barney. That's the way this world... And see, the problem is, we, that is mankind, man in his natural state, equates all love as equal.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's not. There's some love that's evil love.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get... I'm not trying to get into detail, but simply to state the facts, there's some love that is sexual in nature that is still honorable to God. But there's also some love that is sexual in nature that is dishonorable to God.
That's it.
And it's not all the same.
Exactly.
There was a fellow one time, and he was actually honest. You know, everybody talks about, well, I fell in love. You know what he used to say? I fell in lust.
Yeah.
He was more honest than most.
Yeah.
He was more honest than most. I'm simply trying to point out that this love, that is the love of God, is not of natural origin.
Exactly.
The love of God, faith toward God, has nothing to do with ability in the human creature. And you know the passage, Galatians chapter 5. That which is of spiritual value must be of a spiritual foundation. Ephesians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and notice that is a capital S, and that's good.
Yeah.
Because it's not the fruit of man's spirit.
No.
It's the fruit of God's spirit.
Yes, sir.
But the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice it doesn't say the fruit of the new nature. The new nature doesn't produce a fruit. The new nature is simply that through which the Spirit of God works.
Exactly.
It is a part of what God gives. these things I'm about to read of are the fruit of the Spirit himself, I should say. The fruit of the Spirit is, and what's the first one? Love. Now, of course, this is not that love that's of the world. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of what? The flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, that is spiritual love, is agape love, is, we might say. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Have you ever had one of those characteristics? If you did and it was a spiritual in nature, it came from the Spirit of God. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God. It's not the fruit of me. And Joe quoted it. And here is this verse. These verses are the verse I'm about to quote defined. It is God that works in you both to will and do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
If I love God with this kind of love, it's God Almighty working it in me.
Amen.
If I have joy that's spiritual, I say it in nature, but spiritual in character, spiritual in essence, it is God that worked that in me. But look at what else it says. Goodness. Faith.
Amen.
Faith. Now remember, the devils believe and tremble. But they don't get that belief from the Spirit, do they? They don't get that faith from the Spirit. But that faith that is connected to salvation, that faith that is connected to justification, must be of the Spirit. Therein is the rub. Somebody said, well, which kind I got? Well, at best, both. At worst, only one.
Yeah.
And that's there is no other place. At best, both. You got a natural faith and a spiritual faith, or at worst, one. You got a natural faith, and that's all you got.
Exactly.
Somebody said, "How am I going to know the difference?" Tough question.
Yes, sir.
Tough question. But let's go on, and we'll give you somewhat of an answer in a moment. But it's a tough question. Because the only way to know for sure is what it loves, right?
Exactly.
You love the world, you don't have the love of the Father. The opposite of that is, if you have the love of the Father, you don't have the love of the world, right? But if I go around looking at some of my actions, I wonder who I do love. I wonder if I love anything.
Exactly.
I like giving the world a hard time too.
Yes, sir.
I get pleasure out of it. Gentleness, let's look at the list again. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, these things are holy, holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. They're holy good.
Yes.
They are good in essence. Good in their very being. What they consist of. Why? Because they're the fruit of the Spirit. They have nothing to do with the flesh.
Exactly.
Against such there is no law. The question is, you remember what Isaiah said, and it's okay to substitute the word, even our goodnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. So there's a goodness against such which there is no law. Against such there is no law, right? But there's also a righteousness or a goodness that is filthy rags in God's sight.
Exactly.
Now somebody says, well, which one do I trust? You better not trust either one.
Amen.
That's the whole point. You better not trust either one. Because even the good good is not for our acceptance before God.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. God doesn't give us this fruit of the Spirit so that we can be accepted of God. We're accepted of God. How? You know that answer. In the Beloved.
Amen.
Somebody's saying, you're belittling these things. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
That's all right. No, I got no other answer. You're belittling these things. No, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
If you think I am setting these things in their highest order as Scripture declares them to be in their proper place and for their proper purpose.
Yes, sir.
These things are not for our acceptance with God, but just in order that we don't kill one another along the way.
Exactly.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
so we're not staying at one another's throats the whole blessed journey.
Exactly.
Because that's what we'd do, wouldn't we?
Yes, sir.
If it wasn't for the fruit of the Spirit, we'd be at one another's throats constantly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
On our best days. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. What? Really? Huh? I've done that. How is it that I've done that literally? Are they literally put to death? That's what to crucify means, right? That's what crucify means. Have I literally put them to death? Oh, they're all too much alive in me. Right? That is the things of the flesh. What is it? This is position, or to reckon it to be so.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the Apostle Paul told the Romans?
Yeah.
Let me read it. Now look at what he says. Romans 6. I mean, it's that classic where he makes that, what I'm going to call a classic statement.
Yes, sir.
Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? But let me go down and find it. Look at it. Okay, here we go. Listen. It says in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed. Now dead how? Dead like we are. Dead to sin, right? For he that is dead is freed from sin. In what sense? Right? Now there are some people who lie and either have deceived themselves and are trying to deceive others. They think that they have been literally, physically delivered or freed from sin. They no longer have to sin. Well, James knocks that in the head. If you say that, you're a liar. Right? For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we're getting somewhere. How am I dead with Christ? Is this something that actually physically happened to me? No. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God likewise. Now here we get it. Here's the personal application of this doctrine. Likewise, reckon.
Yeah.
Count it to be so. Even if you don't see it to be so. Even if you can't feel it to be so. Believe it to be so and reckon it to be so. Count it. And so go ahead and read the rest of that now or later, whatever you want to do. Reckon it to be so. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Back to Galatians. And then here is the whole proof in the pudding. If we live in the Spirit, let us also do what? Walk in the Spirit. And this is why I said what I said. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. That's why we have this fruit, not these fruits, this fruit of the Spirit, so that we don't destroy one another on our way to glory.
Exactly.
That's why. So that we won't be constantly at one another's heels on the way to glory. These things, Mason, are for now, not for then. Right?
Yeah.
Because when I get there, I won't have the flesh no more. This corruptible will put on what? Incorruption. And this mortal will put on what? Immortality. And if I happen to die before that time happens, it says this body will be raised an incorruptible body.
Amen.
Well, it'll be a body like unto His own glorious body.
Amen.
So either way, I'm going to benefit.
Exactly.
You see, these things are for now. Yes, it's true. And many of us have found this out firsthand by experience. Whatsoever man sows, that shall we also reap.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's it.
But it's like someone, I think it was Mason, told me, an old preacher said one time, you don't sow in one field and reap in another. But there are far too many people sowing in this life, hoping to reap in the next. Thinking about what they sow in this life will fix them up in the next. Let me tell you something, you ain't got enough good seed for that.
Exactly.
I ain't got enough good seed for that. This fruit of the Spirit is for us to benefit with all now.
Yes, sir.
Now, so that we won't do what? Be desirous, desiring empty glory, so that we won't be provoking one another and envying one another. Right? That's what that's for. It ain't to get me to heaven. You know why this is so? Because God Almighty is sovereign, purpose to do it that way.
Yes, sir.
That's why it's that way.
Yeah, that's right.
Why has it got to be that way? Because God said so.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why. You know, if God wanted to save me by my works, He could have done that.
Oh, yeah.
But He was pleased to honor and glorify His grace, which has nothing to do with works,
exactly.
Good or bad. You see, God saves sinners, not good people.
Amen.
Right? And when God saves a sinner, He doesn't make him into be a good people.
Exactly.
He's still a sinner saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Right? Now, there's some good qualities that may be in that person, but only because the Spirit of God is what? In that person. Because these good things, these things against such there is no law, are not a fruit of us in any way, shape, or form. They're a fruit of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
If I've ever had one moment of joy that's of any spiritual value, it was the fruit of the Spirit. You see, God don't get all the credit just out of theory. God gets all the credit out of fact. Out of fact. There's a lot of people say they believe in grace. They don't believe in grace. They believe in tit for tat.
Yeah, exactly.
They believe in quid pro quo.
Yep, that's it.
That's what they actually believe in. Now, you know what that means, don't you? Yeah, you know what that means. I do my little bit and God will do His little bit. Or maybe the other one, God will do His whole lot and I'll do my little bit. It don't matter how many bits you divide up. If I do anything, God owes it to me.
Exactly.
If that's what it's based upon.
The
Apostle Paul said, it ain't that way. It's either by grace or works, one or the other.
Yeah.
It is not a mixture of the two.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form.
Amen.
I still listen to his CDs here and there on the way to work. Like what Ralph Dale said. Oh, you people sit down in that old suit to see to do nothing. Well, I read in Scripture these words. Listen to what it says. And I'll just read them to you. You don't have to. You just read them. See if you can find this in the Scripture. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly,
amen.
His faith is counted for righteousness. That gives me hope.
Amen. That's it.
Does that make me not work? In one sense, yes.
Yeah,
in one sense, yeah. I don't work for righteousness.
Amen.
Huh? But in another sense, you know what? I want to work because that makes me happy.
Yes, sir.
And work in what sense? This sense. Not, I got to do things for Jesus. I want to love you. I want to love God.
Amen.
I want to find joy in myself, and I like to see it in you too. Huh? Because sometimes, even when I ain't got joy, if I find out you got a little bit, it kind of rubs off. You know, it'll rub off a little bit.
Yeah.
And why long suffering? Because bless God, I need it.
Yeah.
Not because I need to give it, because I need it.
Yes, sir.
I hope God gives y'all more of that than He does me.
Exactly.
I'm being silly. Long suffering. Gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. There's a good one. Not abstinence. Temperance. And Scripture says, temperate in all things, even our religion. Right? Temperate even in our religion. Christ said, when you do your alms, do it how? In secret.
Amen.
I like what one preacher said. I think it may have been Tim James. Practice to be unnoticed. Do your best not to be discovered. You know? Do your best so that nobody knows you're even religious. You know, the problem is, it'll rub off on you. But you don't have to announce it like the Pharisees. You don't have to blow the horn. When you're absent at certain times, when you're in the hiding, when you're in the closet, they're going to say, well, where's Walter at? Where's Ellen at? Where's Joe at? Where's Debbie at? Where's Linda at? They go ask where you at. And after a while, they go wonder, why do they always disappear when religion starts? Huh? Because I ain't trying to be religious.
Exactly.
Temperance in all things. And I will use the word, even in your soul winning.
Yeah.
Huh? Now, there are people that I would love to be able to win. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah.
Huh? There were people I loved to be able to talk to and to even argue into the truth if I could. Now, I know that's not the way God Almighty ordained for it to happen. I understand that. But Paul does talk about winning people, does he not?
Yes, sir.
He talks about a wife winning her husband.
Yeah.
He talks about winning some Jews,
yeah.
Right? But it's to be done how? Legally. That's the way he puts it. Now, not according to the law of Moses, but rightly. It's to be done lawfully. And it's to be done in temperance. You know, there are people out here that they actually are this ilk. You win a person's soul at all costs.
Oh, yeah.
You know that?
Yes, sir.
And they are talking men and women and boys and girls into decisions that and into starting to walk a path that those people have no will or desire to stay on. They talk them into some momentary decision that will get them into eternity, but that person can give a squat less about the here and now.
Yeah.
And walking according to that line.
Yeah.
No, according to Revelations, look at, my time's almost gone. Revelations chapter 22, look at this one. Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. This is talking about that new heavens and earth, the new Jerusalem, right? What it's talking about. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth. Whoa, there's whosoever in a negative way. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie.
Amen.
How many people here has ever lied? And every one of us would have to raise our hand if we're honest, huh? Is this talking about just any old lie? Now, let me tell you, all lying is sin.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong now here. But he's not simply talking. There is, in the Greek, there is no a lie. It's actually whosoever loveth and maketh what? The lie.
Yeah.
And you know what the lie is? Man could do it
yeah.
on his own.
Exactly.
Or man can do it with God's help.
Exactly.
That's the same old lie, just rehashed with different language.
Exactly. That's it.
When it comes to the truth, man can't do it.
Amen.
That's our problem. It's like the one guy said, God, if you'll take the first step, God will meet you halfway. And I think it's Henry Mahan or somebody says, if I could take the first step, I don't need God. Because
exactly.
The first step's to come out of the grave, spiritually speaking. And if I can raise myself spiritually, I can do everything else.
Amen.
That's the hardest part,
yes,
is
sir.
To come from out from among the dead.
Exactly.
You see, man is so depraved, he thinks he's not depraved. That's how depraved he is.
Exactly.
Man is so dead he thinks he's alive.
Yeah.
That's a conundrum, ain't it?
Exactly.
A dead man who thinks he's alive.
That's it.
Well, somebody said, but that don't make sense. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It don't make sense. Somebody said, well, I can't believe that. And I turn around and preach it and they get mad at me for preaching that.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They will say, I can't believe that. Then I'll turn around and say, well, you can't believe the truth. What do you mean? I don't believe it. I can believe anything I want to. Well, why don't you get on one side of the fence or the other?
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah. That's it.
You see, God is the creator. We are the creature.
Yes, sir.
Period.
Yeah.
Period. 2 Timothy. Here's another one. 2 Timothy 3. It's another familiar one. of course. Second Timothy 3, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And this is basically, it's like talking about dangerous, you know?
Exactly.
For men shall be what? No. Not just haters. That's not our problem.
No.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's our first primary problem.
Exactly.
You know? When God gives life and begins to convert, that's one thing you begin to turn from, is loving your blessed self.
Yes, sir.
You find out there ain't nothing there to love. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means not able to hold back.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Yeah. I just got to do it. Can't handle it. Can't stand it. Got to do it.
Exactly.
It's this burning desire.
Yeah.
Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Boy, we got that today.
Yes, sir.
Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Here, wait a minute. Haters. Now, I didn't want to say it. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And you know, both of these words are philio, from the base word philio. They don't even have they love pleasure more than just being fond of God.
Exactly.
They're fond of pleasures more than even being fond of God. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Having a form of godliness, but denying what? The power. That doesn't mean the godliness they have, they deny the power by which they got that godliness. They have a form of godliness. It's not true godliness.
Exactly.
And they deny the actual ability and authority from which godliness does come.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's talking about. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such do what?
Yeah.
Turn away.
Yeah.
For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with different or divers lusts. Ever learning.
Yeah.
Ever learning.
Yes, sir.
They know things.
Oh, yeah.
Ever learning. But here's the problem. And never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
Now, let me just stop on this. Has God brought you to a knowledge of the truth?
Exactly.
In love.
Yes.
In love. Now, I want each and every one of us. Now, I don't mean right now. I'm not trying to get some decision out of everybody. I mean every one of us right now. I want us to, for the next days, begin to think about this. When did God bring me to that if I'm persuaded He brought me to that? When did this begin to happen?
Yeah.
Now, the reason I ask that question is because there's a lot of people that thought this, that they think this has happened to them a long time ago. And I say this because I see this happen. I see people who, having heard the truth anon or immediately, receive it with joy. But when pressure comes, when hard times come, they fall away.
Amen.
See, the question is, when I think I got it, did I get the real thing or did I get a false dose?
Yeah.
That's the question. Now, maybe I got the real thing now. But if I got it now and I didn't have it back then, I better quit depending on back then. And I better start trusting in God now. Not for when it even did happen, Joe, but right now. What did Paul say? I forget yesterday.
Yeah.
That's basically, I forget yesterday. I press on from here on out. Just keep going. As tomorrow fades, as today fades into tomorrow, leave it as tomorrow. And let us hope in God today.
Yes.
Today. Father, I pray that You comfort us in Thy Son. Make us mindful of one another as we part company, as we part our different ways. May we think about one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, if need be, rebuke, but Lord, may it be with gentleness and meekness. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.